All right, I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. The last book in God's holy word, in the 19th chapter. And I want to read verse number 10 for our text this morning, and I want you to listen carefully to what the word of the Lord speaks to us this morning. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We have this opportunity. We can come and gather and assemble ourselves here before you today, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for all the blessings you've supplied us in life. We ask you this morning now that you might give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Father, this morning as thy word goes out, may it speak to our heart and draw us closer to you. And this morning, Father, I pray this morning if one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this will be the time the Holy Spirit will point that out and birth them into the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I heard about a fellow got in an automobile one day with a man, and as they took off up the street approaching a red light, he just floorboarded it, went through the red light. He said, man, that light was red. He said, yeah, my brother said never stop at a red light. And they get a little bit further, and sure enough, here comes another red light, and he just shut his eyes because, man, the guy just floored it, went on through the red light. He said, man, don't you know we're going to get caught? He said, my brother said never stop at a red light. They go a little bit further, and about the time they're nearly getting there, the light turns green. He slams on the brakes and fishtails and finally gets stopped. He said, why are you stopping for a green light? He said, my brother may be coming the other way. Well, I want to tell you this morning, someone is coming. And I guess in one say you could say he's my brother. Because this morning his name is Jesus. I'm glad we live in these days in which we're living. I think this morning as we look around and we think about all that we're seeing going on in our world, that certainly today that we understand that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. But the more you begin to think about it and what the Bible teaches us here in our text this morning is as we read through the Bible, biblical prophecy today is not really about something happening. It is today we see events taking place, and of course we can talk about the signs of the times. But biblical prophecy is not really about this morning something happening. It's about someone coming. It's about Jesus Christ coming this morning. When you read the book of the Revelation, you're seeing the triumph of the Lamb. You're seeing the victorious Lion of the tribe of Judah as he comes in power and great glory. You're seeing the judgment of God fall upon a world who rejected his Son today. It is not, sometimes we get all confused because many times we think about the book of Revelations, but it's not the book of Revelations. It is the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ today. And that's what the Bible is all about. You see, our text this morning says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what does that mean today? If you were asked, what does that mean? Why did the Lord include that in his sacred text this morning? Well, we need to understand today that every biblical prophecy, all Bible prophecy today, points to the Lord Jesus Christ. From the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, we find that prophecy is pointing not to an event that's going to happen, but it's pointing to a person who's going to come. It starts in the book of Genesis when God promised the seed of the woman today that would bruise the head of the serpent today in Genesis 3 and verse number 15. And as you read through the Old Testament and as you begin to read the great promises and prophecies God makes about the Son of God, you find that he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to be the desire of all nations. He's going to be this morning born of a virgin. He's going today to be called the Counselor, Wonderful, the Most High God today. And we find that all the way through the Old Testament, you find the great prophecies that God makes concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you approach the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and as God closes out that Old Testament canon today, Malachi ends with these words. Chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day. I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, when I commanded unto him in Mount Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We see today that the last prophecy in the Old Testament concerns the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wing. It's prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ coming this morning to bring healing to a world that's filled with lawlessness and terrible things today. Every book in the Bible today is about Jesus Christ. When you read the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as they were written by Moses, there we find that all of those Old Testament books in those first five books foreshadow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can always find Jesus standing somewhere in the shadows. As you begin to read and you get to the historical books of Joshua and 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ruth, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther today, you find that all of those historical books will give you a foreglimmering of Christ. They show him in his power and his glory as he comes to rule as the King of Kings this morning. The poetical books, and as you read through those, you find the feelings of Christ. You read Psalms 22, and you read the Song of Solomon, and you read this morning the book, many of the Psalms this morning, you'll find that they're there telling of the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're speaking as he would speak from his heart this morning. When you get to the prophetic books, of course, they therefore tell the coming of Christ. We get to the Gospels, and the Gospels this morning are simply the facts about the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes I want to make sure it's not Matthew's Gospel, it's the Gospel according to Matthew. It's the word that God gave Matthew about Jesus Christ, and it records for us the facts of the Lord Jesus. We get to the Acts and the book and the epistles this morning, and you see in that the fullness of Christ. As we read this morning in the last book of the Bible here, we find in the Revelation is the finality of Christ. All books point to Jesus. As S.M. Lockridge used to say as he preached his famous sermon, right on, Christ Jesus, right on. Now, this morning as we look in this particular text today and we think about the prophecy and how that it points to Jesus Christ today, and many times people say, why do we need to study prophecy? Why do we need to read about prophecy? Why do we need to know about prophecy? Well, first of all, I want to tell you this morning that you need to be concerned with prophecy. You need to study prophecy. You need to, this morning, read about prophecy, because prophecy this morning will produce praise in your life. You know, we live in a world gone wild. We live in a mad, 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 mad world today. Every direction you look, you see things that are happening today. We see it's filled with terrible and atrocious things today. And we find this morning as we look about where in the world can we find anything to praise? Where can we find anything to feel good about this morning? You know, Fanny Crosby wrote that wonderful hymn, Praise Him. This morning we ought to praise Him. And, you know, as I was thinking about that song this morning, and I'm not going to sing, please don't get all upset now. Don't turn your hearing aids off and all of that stuff. Okay? But you think about that song. Sometimes I think, and I'm like everybody else, maybe I sing the song. I don't sing very good, but I mean, I can go along a little bit, but we let the words come out of our mouth is what I'm saying. But do we ever hear what they're saying? You know, Fanny said, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful world love proclaim. Hail him, high archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all the day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. You know, we say, well, how can we do that? Well, in the last verse, listen to what she wrote in the last verse. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavy portals with loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him today. Tell of his excellent greatness. And he said we can praise him today because we know that he's coming. We can praise him this morning because we know that he is the king today and he's coming into this world today. You see, we don't praise God this morning so that we can feel good. I'm afraid that sometimes in our world today and in the church world in which we go into, we see a lot of times people are singing praise music and different kinds of songs, and there's a lot of controversy over it. But I want you to listen to me very carefully, please, today. I'm not getting in the middle of some kind of a theological debate about what kind of songs to sing and all of that, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. And I'm old school, you know that, so I'm going to go further with that. But what I'm saying to you today is, listen to me carefully. When we come to church today, it's not for us to be entertained and made to feel good. We sing and praise because we feel good on the inside. Amen. Now listen, I want you to listen to what David said in the 40th Psalm. He writes there as he writes to the people of all ages today, not just in his time, but in all times. And this is one of the great psalms today that I like to read every once in a while just to stir my heart today. He said in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Boy, I'm glad one day God heard my cry. Amen. I'm glad one day God heard me cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, I accept and believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins and put my faith and trust in him. I'm glad he heard my cry. Amen. So what did he do? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock and established my goings. In verse 3, he said, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see, this morning, I'm not singing to make me feel good. I'm not singing today to be entertained. Praise God, I sing because God put a song in my heart. He heard my cry. And today when I come into the Lord's house, and sometimes when I look around this world and I see all that's going on, and you begin to get kind of saying, what is the use? Why should we just keep continue on today? It's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. Then you realize Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you got something to praise and you got something to sing about. You see, this morning when you begin to sing and to praise unto the Lord today, you'll find that prophecy today will bring a word of praise into your mouth. It'll bring a word of joy into your heart. And as the Psalms close out, and boy, what some great Psalms, and as you begin to read through that book, and I often wondered some of these days, I like for people just to write down, if you would, and if you start this morning, if you like, and just write down your favorite Psalm, and we'll look at that Psalm and talk about that psalm and this morning. But you know, in Psalms 146, it begins with these words, "Praise ye the Lord." You know how it ends? "Praise ye the Lord." Psalms 147, "Praise ye the Lord." And it ends with "Praise ye the Lord." And you go all the way to Psalms 150, and it begins with "Praise ye the Lord." And it ends with "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." Praise the Lord. How can we praise that? Because this morning, when we think about Jesus today, and think about Jesus coming today as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we can have praise in our heart today. Right. You see, Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand in the last days upon the earth, and in my flesh I shall see God." I know my Redeemer liveth this morning, and I know he shall stand in the last days upon the earth today as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know that today, and I can, with Job, say praise God today. Amen. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I know whom I believe it today. Amen. I can have a word of praise in my heart because I know he's coming. Paul said, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a home in heaven's, a house not built with hands." Hallelujah. Now, we know some things today, and when we look around and we see all this going, we can still say praise God because we know that Jesus is coming. Amen. Many years ago, a lady was in a, what they called back in those days, the poorhouse. And she didn't have any family. She was, of course, very poor, deep in poverty. And she was laying on her deathbed. And she began to say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And someone bent down and said, "Don't you know you die?" And she said, "Praise the Lord, I'm leaving the poor house for the King's house."
Amen. Yeah.
Amen today. Prophecy, and when you begin to think about Jesus coming, will make you want to praise the Lord today.
Right.
But you know, it'll do something else when you begin to think about prophecy today and you begin to look at prophecy today. Prophecy will produce purity in your life. John, of course, was given the privilege and of writing the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And John wrote in the first his first epistle in the third chapter these words, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Well, that's great love, isn't it? "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right at this present time, are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then in verse number 3 said, "And every man that hath this hope of him purifieth himself even as he is pure." When you begin to realize that Jesus is coming, it'll produce purity and holiness in your life, because you know the King is coming, because you know the Savior's coming this morning. Many of you know, of course, Brother Bill Payne, and he passed away not long ago. And I knew Brother Bill. He and I were friends for many years. And one day I went down to see him, and he and I had been, that week, his wife had been gone the week, and to Michigan for some reason. I don't remember exactly what reason it was, but she had been gone for a week up into Michigan where her folks lived. And as she was gone, Brother Bill's dead. Folks always said, "Don't speak ill of the dead." I'm just going to tell you the truth. He's a slob. So on Friday, I went down there and I walked. I knocked on the door and he come in. He had a big old apron on, and he was sweating. And I looked in and there was clothes on the floor. The sink was overrun with dishes. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I got to get this mess cleaned up. Judy's coming home." I said, "You ever thought about cleaning up as you go?" He said, "Judy's coming home. I got to get it done. I ain't got time to talk to you." I said, you want me to help you? He said, you don't know how to do it like she wants it done. Just leave me alone. Judy's coming home. I got to get this mess cleaned up. I got to thinking about that. The Lord's coming. We better get this mess cleaned up, hadn't we?
Amen. That's right.
That's what he's saying here. Is that when we have this hope, we know that Jesus is coming. We want to be and have everything just right for him, you see. Brother Hugh Pyle, I preached a couple of Bible conferences with him several years ago, and he said when he was down in Florida that he used to preach on the radio down there, and he said that in the town where he lived, he'd go out to the radio station and do it live, and said the little room that they would put you in to do your live radio broadcast, he said he went in there, he'd go in there, and he said there'd be Coke cans and bottles and cigarette butts and just everything, paper all over the floor. That it was dingy and dirty and never been dusted. Said he'd do his radio program. And that he went in there one day and he walked in and he said they'd painted the walls. Everything was clean, had new chairs and furniture. And that he said, man, what happened? And he said, the guy looked at me and said, don't you know Paul Harvey's going to do his radio program from here? Well, they're ready to clean up for Paul Harvey. We better ready to clean up for Jesus this morning. We want to understand that Jesus is coming. And we need to be clear before him today. We need to be right with the Lord today. Our lives. Do you realize that we got to give an account? The Bible said we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. I got to thinking about that not long ago, and that's a kind of a terrifying thought. You think about that. When he looks out there and say, why did you do this? What am I going to say? Why did you do this? Listen to me today. You begin to think about Jesus is coming. You begin to think about all the things that's going to transpire. And John said, hey, we want to purify ourselves as he is pure. We want to be what Jesus wants us to be because we know that he's coming today. That's one reason we need to study biblical prophecy and realize that his coming could be at any time. And then lastly today, I want to tell you this. Biblical prophecy will produce panic. You say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean will produce panic? People without Jesus panic. They don't want to hear about Jesus coming again. Honestly, I would assure you that if you were to go throughout Monroe County, and I'll just use Monroe County, and you were to go and preach in every Baptist church in Monroe County, and you were to preach, and as your text was to come from the book of the Revelation, that some people's hearts start beating real fast because they're going to panic, because they're afraid that Jesus is going to come, and they know what's going to happen. This world today doesn't want to hear about the coming of the Lord. They don't want to know that all the events that we're seeing and all these things that are happening as they're prophesied in the Bible is simply pointing to the fact that Jesus is coming. You read 2 Timothy chapter 3 when you get home. And as you read, as Paul details the perilous times, and he says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That means it's not getting better, it's getting worse. It means that as longer between the time that Jesus ascended until the time that he comes again, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. So I got news for you this morning. As Walter Cronkite used to say, I've got news for you. When you hear bad news, it's good news because it's getting worse. And people don't want to hear about the coming of the Lord because, you see, as Paul writes that, he's saying all of these things are happening and they're simply pointing to this great one prophetical fact that Jesus Christ is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. That's right.
As we look in Revelation 19, as we think about verse number 11, and here he said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. You see, Jesus today is coming for his bride. He's coming for his people. And he's coming today as their blessed hope. That's why we can praise the Lord. That's why we can want to purify ourselves. Because he's our blessed hope.
Amen.
But he's also coming today as the greatest horror to unbelievers today. And vengeance. And he's coming to make war. And he's coming to show the world who he really is today. And he's not coming as a savior, but he's coming as the sovereign. This morning, Jesus is coming. Make no doubt about that. That's what the Bible is really about today. That's what biblical prophecy is all about, is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming. And today, he's either your greatest hope or your biggest horror. What is he to you today? Jesus is coming. Can you praise the Lord today, or do you panic when you think that Jesus is coming? You need to be praising him, and the only way to do that is to know that he's your Lord and your Savior this morning. And he turns none away. What a great Savior we have today. Hallelujah. He'll hear your cry and pull you out of the miry pit. Set your foot on solid ground. Establish your goings and put a new song in your mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, today. All right, we stand together for the roof you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very brief and simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.